This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'd like to talk about a woman in the New Testament who had open heart surgery. And I hope that this study will be helpful to us in thinking about what we need to do to make our life right with God. Now, you may be thinking open heart surgery. I was not aware of someone who underwent that particular procedure. Well, it's not what you think. It's not the doctor opening up her chest and her heart and going into her heart and putting in a stent or valve replacement. I'm talking about open heart surgery in a spiritual sense, in that we're told that the Lord opened her heart. Of course, I'm talking about Lydia, the seller of purple in Philippi. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 16, in just a moment, we want to read that passage of Scripture, verses 11 through 15, and see what we can learn about opening up our heart to hear the words of God today in the Scripture. Lydia, the woman who had open heart surgery. Of course, when we turn to Acts chapter 16, we're looking at Paul's travels to Philippi on his second preaching trip from Antioch. And this is the first convert on European soil. And it's a great account recorded by Luke in the book of Acts. And it tells us the importance of hearing the message of God's word even today. We're going to read Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 11. Setting sail, therefore, from Troas, we, Luke and Paul, those traveling with them, made a straight course to Samothrace, and the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a city of Macedonia, the first of the district, a Roman colony. And we were in this city tarrying certain days. And on the Sabbath day we went forth without the gate by a river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spake unto the women that were come together. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, one that worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened to give heed unto the things which were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. In this brief account, we have many wonderful lessons, and we'd like to pull out some of those this morning on the program, as we talk about the conversion of Lydia, the woman who had open heart surgery. Of course, when we look at this woman, we find some interesting things about her in verses 13, 14, and 15. Just three verses packed full of some great lessons. Before we even get to the part about the Lord opening up her heart, I want you to consider some great things about this woman. The text says in verse 14 that she was one that worshipped God. Lydia was from the city of Thyatira over in modern-day Turkey, and she had traveled to Philippi to do her work. She was a seller of purple, either the dye or the garments that had been dyed or both. She was a businesswoman. But notice that she was one that worshipped God, and she was willing to do that far away from home. She didn't let her business practice get in the way of worshiping God on the Sabbath day. This is a person who has been converted to Judaism, and they're worshiping on the Sabbath day. When these individuals are converted to Christ under the new law, they will begin to worship the Lord on Sunday, the first day of the week, but she is a Jewish worshiper of God, and so she has come to worship God on the Sabbath day, verse 13. But notice that she doesn't let distance keep her from worshiping God. She doesn't let her work or her schedule or her business get in the way of worshiping God. And yet we find that that happens so often today. People let things get in front of the Lord. And we can do better. We can do better with prioritizing our lives. So notice, first of all, that we find a woman who was serious about her religion toward God. Some people will put God first as long as there's nothing else going on, and then something more exciting comes along or important. They want to do that. She put God first, far away from home, and during the middle of her work, her business, she set aside the Sabbath to worship God. Notice also in verse 13 that this woman, far away from home, in the middle of her work, is taking time to worship God. And the text says, on the Sabbath day, we went forth without the gate by a riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spake unto the women that were come together. Notice that they are gathered together by a riverside. This was a commonplace setting. This would not have been an extravagant hall, a fancy building built to do this. It was just a very humble, commonplace setting. But that was not below Lydia, the seller of purple. She didn't say, well, that's below me. That's beneath me. I'm not going to go down to the riverside to pray to God. I want a big fancy building in order to do that. Notice that. She had a good job. She didn't let that get in the way of her religious service to God. She was faithful to God away from home. And she was willing to worship in a commonplace setting. Would we do that today? There have been times when I have worshiped with Christians around the world, different places. It wasn't in a nice church building. It may just be in someone's living room. I have worshiped with Christians in the Philippines in an open-air hut. Literally a hut that had leaves for the roof and branches and pieces of plants that made a thatched roof. I have preached and worshiped with God with Christians where chickens are running through right at our feet or dogs laying down in very common, humble settings. And that was just as meaningful to me as if I was in a fancy church building. And so, if you really want to put God first in your life, you can do that. And not let things of the world and ideas that people have get in the way. But the thing that we want to focus on this morning, in addition to those great lessons, is that this woman paid attention to God's word. And because of that, she and her household were baptized into Christ. Paying attention to God's word is so important. You know, there's a lot of denominational preachers today that use this verse to try to prove a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. In verse 14, where Luke says, whose heart the Lord opened to give heed unto the things which were spoken by Paul. The reason they do that is they're coming from a background of Calvinism. John Calvin wrongly taught, that because a person is born totally depraved, their heart is so totally depraved, they cannot by themselves listen and hear and obey the word of God. The the heart of that person has to be directly operated upon. And this is of the 5 points of Calvinism, T-U-L-I-P, that spells tulip. This is the I, the irresistible grace, where God sends you the Holy Spirit and you cannot resist Him, and He works on your heart to open it up. But that's not what this passage is teaching. It sounds like that, but that's not what this passage is teaching. And so we need to be careful about twisting the scriptures. Many people today teach that God, by way of the Holy Spirit, makes one, forces one to hear. Number two, to understand what one hears. And number three, to obey what one understands. It's all on God. God forces some people to do it, and He does not force other people to do it, which makes Him a respecter of persons, which God says He's not. In Acts chapter 10, He's not a respecter of persons. God does not directly operate on your heart to force you to obey or not. Clearly, the Holy Spirit is at work in this story, but not in the manner commonly assumed. We find, for example, back in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, that Paul and others had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. The Holy Spirit is in this chapter, but not in the way that the denominational preachers say so. So let's look at the issue this morning. Let's look at Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. The issue is not, does the Lord open one's heart? The text says, whom the Lord opened, whose heart the Lord opened. That's what the text says. That's not the issue. The issue is, how does the Lord open one's heart? Does the Lord open one's heart directly and against your free will? Or does He do it indirectly through the preaching of the Word of God? And we're going to find that it's the latter. There's two ways that we can all work and do something, either directly or indirectly. That happens all the time, all throughout the day. And the Lord operated indirectly through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. When you consider the facts and the order of the facts, you will come to that same conclusion. For example, in the text that we just read, when you start back at verse 13 and you take the order of events, you find, first of all, that we sat down and spake unto the women, Luke says. We went forth without the gate by the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spake unto the women that were come together. So the first thing that is mentioned is, we sat down and spake unto the women. Verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, one that worshipped God, heard us. A certain woman heard us. And then we find the statement, whose heart the Lord opened to give heed unto the things that were spoken by Paul. There was preaching first. The women were listening. And then the text says the Lord opened her heart to what? To give heed. The word translated give heed here means to attend to fix one's mind upon something, to hold on to something. We find it back in Acts chapter 8, when Philip was preaching in the city of Samaria. He was preaching there, and we find in Acts chapter 8 and verse 6 that the multitude gave heed with one accord unto the things that were spoken by Philip, when they heard and saw the signs which he did. It's the same type of thing. And you come on down to verse 10. To whom they all gave heed, from the least unto the greatest. Some were listening to Simon the sorcerer. Well, did God work directly on their hearts to do that? Verse 11. And they gave heed to him, because that of a long time he amazed them with his sorceries. So, you can give heed to things that are good, and you can give heed to things that are not good. What we find here is that the Lord opened her heart by giving her the opportunity and the circumstances indirectly through which to hear the Word of God and believe it and obey it. And so the question that I ask this morning is your heart open or closed when God's Word is preached? Is your heart open or closed? Jesus dealt with this very thing in Matthew chapter 13 when he was talking about the parable of the sower. We find in Acts chapter 13 and verse 14, Jesus said, quoting Isaiah, "By hearing you shall hear and shall in no wise understand, and seeing you shall see and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is grown gross or thick, and their eyes are dull of hearing. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again, and I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Talking about the disciples, but the multitudes would not open their eyes and ears. Is your heart open or closed when God's word is preached? On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, the apostles, not the whole multitude, the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues, not the whole multitude, but the apostles. And when they did that, Luke records Peter's sermon. At the end of that sermon, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do?" They were pricked in the heart. This is the same type of thing, where the words, the Holy Spirit words, move people to be changed. But the same Holy Spirit words move people to be disobedient. In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was preaching in Jerusalem, when he gets down toward the end of his sermon in Acts chapter 7, in verse 51, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you." Their fathers resisted the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit spoke through the Old Testament prophets. And you, the Jews that were listening to Stephen, they resisted the Holy Spirit during his sermon. Back in Acts chapter 6 and verse 10, describing Stephen, "They were not able to withstand the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." Stephen was preaching by the Holy Spirit, and these people are resisting it. That's the opposite of what John Calvin taught. John Calvin taught that you cannot resist the Holy Spirit. He taught irresistible grace. And Stephen says, no, you can resist the Holy Spirit. In fact, we find the same type of thing even in the Old Testament, that the Jews of the Old Testament resisted the Holy Spirit. So you can say no to the words that are being preached. You can say no to those words, and those are not just any old words. They are words of the Holy Spirit. In Nehemiah chapter 9, Nehemiah is talking about the Old Testament Jews. He said, "Yet they dealt proudly and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thine ordinances, and withdrew the shoulder and hardened their neck and would not hear. Yet many years did you bear with them and testified against them by the Spirit through thy prophets. Yet they would not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the peoples of this land." They resisted the Holy Spirit. And the Jews in Jerusalem that Stephen is preaching to are doing the same thing. they would not be pricked in the heart. They would not allow their heart to be opened through the preaching of the words of the Holy Spirit like Lydia did. You know, the heart is very important. The heart, I'm talking about the spiritual heart, our mind, and that's how the Bible is using it here. It's not talking about the physical blood-pumping organ inside of our chest. But Lydia's heart was open, her mind, her thoughts. The heart is very important. And I want to talk about some things that the heart does for just a moment and how it needs to be in sync with the Word of God. First of all, the heart thinks. It reasons. It thinks. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. And our reasoning and our thinking needs to be matched up with the Word of God. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh within himself, so is he. Eat and drink, says he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The heart thinks. The heart loves. In Matthew 22:37, we're to love God with all of our heart and love our neighbor as ourself. Our love needs to be controlled by the Word of God so that we don't love the wrong things. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, John says, 1 John 2:15. Our thinking needs to be governed by the Word of God. Our love needs to be governed by the Word of God. Another thing that our heart does is that it desires. We have things that we like and that we want and that we desire. And Paul said, my heart's desire and supplication to God is for them, his fellow Jew, that they would be saved. Our desires need to be governed by the Word of God. What do you desire? Righteousness? Truth? Good works? Obedience to God? Do you desire to please God and be obedient to Him? Our desires. Do we desire to go to heaven? Do we desire to read God's Word? Do we desire to pray? Do we desire to worship with other Christians on the first day of the week, Sunday? What are your desires like? Number four, the heart believes. It's something that trusts and has confidence in something else, and the heart believes. And what we believe has to be based upon the Word of God. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Later, belief comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith or belief comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have to have a belief system that is governed by God, or we're going to have problems. Atheists don't believe the Word of God. Skeptics and agnostics and worldly people don't believe the Word of God. Even people who are religious but don't follow the Bible. Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists. You can be religious, but your belief system is not based upon the Scripture, the Bible. Faith comes by hearing God's Word, not by hearing just some religious, philosophical platitudes of mankind. Number five, the heart purposes. You purpose to do something. You plan ahead and you carry out that plan. The heart does that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, let each man do according as he has purposed in his heart. Talking about giving to the Lord on Sunday. Our purposes, what we plan in advance, needs to be governed by the Word of God. And then finally, the heart intends. This is something that we will, that we desire, that we intend to do. the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees everything, even inside of our heart. And God's word can address all of those things, even in our heart. The thoughts and intents of the heart. I can't read your heart. You can't read my heart. But God can. And his word addresses everything that's in our heart, good or bad. So what we find here, friends, is that Lydia went under the knife, if you will, to get open heart surgery, if you will. God's word is like a knife. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we just read it. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. The physician's scalpel today is extremely sharp. God's word is like that. And it cuts into our thinking, our love, our desires, our beliefs, our purposes, our intents. It cuts through all of that. It gets down to the things that we need to do to really change and be right with God. But we've got to let God's word cut into us and cut us open, as it were, to where we really pay attention and take heed and fix our minds on everything that is being said and make those necessary changes. We find in Acts chapter 16 that she didn't just sit there and listen, but she got up with her household and they were down there by that riverside and she was immersed in the water. That's what baptism is. That's what the word means, to dip, to immerse, not to be sprinkled, for the remission of her sins, so that she could wash away her sins and come up a new creature in Christ. Her hearing led to obedience. And then she had a great attitude. Come, abide in my house, and she constrained us. That's one indication that she was really a changed woman. The Lord opens the heart through the teaching and preaching and the explaining of the Word of God. Jesus did that with the two on the road to Emmaus. He opened their hearts and minds. He did that with the apostles. Luke 24, 32 through 45. Paul, after his conversion, was sent to open the hearts of individuals. Acts 26, 16 through 20. Will you check in today for your open heart surgery in hearing the Word of God and believing it and obeying it? If we can help you to have that same open heart surgery, let's get together, read and study, and obey God's word together. Contact us. We would love to hear from you. We're glad that you've joined us today on the program, and we hope that you'll have a good day and tune in next week as well.